Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
See, you can conjure up in your mind and say, well, you know, I believe this, and use rational thinking and say, because I believe this, I'm sincere about this, and therefore that's going to be enough. That's not the way truth operates. It can't be, this is true for you, that's sweet, but this is true for me, that's sweet. Listen, they both can't be right. Either God exists or God does not exist. There's not a lot of wiggling room with truth. See, you can conjure up in your mind and say, well, you know, I believe this, and use rational thinking and say, because I believe this, I'm sincere about this, and therefore that's going to be enough. That's not the way truth operates. True truth.
The truth is, God has something much better for you than coasting through life. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Sitting on the Bench, about how you can get involved in God's exciting work by helping to build His kingdom. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Sitting on the Bench, Part 2.
When you get home, take your Bible, open up to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4 is when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's asked to preach a sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he stands up, and guess what scripture he reads? Ours. Our scripture. He simply reads this passage about Elijah going there to Zarephath and being received by an outsider, and he said in his homily there that there were plenty of widows in Israel that could have helped this prophet, but God sent him outside of Israel. And when he said this, he threw in the story of Naaman, and suddenly those Jews there in Nazareth realized that the real God was a God of outsiders who offered grace to outsiders. What did they do with Jesus in his first sermon? They took him to a cliff and would have pushed him over had he not sort of walked through the middle of them. You see what brought wrath to those Jews there in the first century when he talked about Elijah and God showing grace and using outsiders to minister to this great prophet in their history. It infuriated them and still infuriates some of us. We are church folks, you know, and we don't have much in common with those who don't think as we think, don't live as we live, don't And we have all of these outsiders who are not a part of our little clique and our little club and our sweet little group that they can sing the hymns and know all the anthems. And we realize that God loves and has grace toward the outsiders. That's the real God. For God so loved the W-O-R-L-D world with no exceptions. The real God is a God who reaches, is a God of outsiders. Also, we see the real God is a living God. This widow woman knew the difference between the living God of Israel and the idols that were made. When we worship something we made ourselves or something we say, well, this is God for me. You know, I'm going to worship the sun, the moon, the stars. I'm going to worship feeling good. We have all these idols that we create. And so the living God is different from a dead God. See, the living God is wild. The living God is capricious. The living God is sovereign. And that is the reason when the boy died, what did this widow of Zarephath, what did she say to Elijah? She said, did you come into my home, O man of God, to make me aware of my sin? And did my sin kill my boy? Isn't that what she asked him? Did not my sin kill my boy? Then Elijah, when he prayed to God, he asked God the same thing in another way. Did her sin kill this son, this boy of hers? They knew innately that the living God sometimes comes and could indeed judge sin. They knew that sin needs to be judged, has to be judged. But wait a minute. Here's a God of grace on one hand, and here's a God of truth on the other hand. Here's a God of love on one hand. We love to hear about the God of grace, the God of truth, the God of love. I can live any way I want to live, do anything I want to do. God forgives me. God takes me back. He gives me new life. He gives me a fresh start, a new beginning. We like all that. But this same God who is a living God, who is a real God, knows that there has to be justice and there has to be truth. They seem to be different. A friend of mine's written a new book. It's a great book. Mark Medelberg has written Choosing Your Faith. In it, he writes down a dialogue between two people that you probably have heard of. One is the atheist Richard Dawkins, and the other one is Bill O'Reilly. Jo Beth makes me watch Bill almost every night. Here's the dialogue on the O'Reilly factor. Atheist Richard Dawkins, the onus is on you to say why you believe in something. There's an infinite number of gods you could believe in. I take it you don't believe in Zeus or Apollo or Thor, and you believe, or presumably, in the Christian God. Commentator Bill O'Reilly, Jesus. Jesus was a real guy. I can see him. Dawkins, yeah. O'Reilly, I know what he did. And so I'm not positive that Jesus is God, but I'm throwing in with Jesus rather than throwing in with you guys, because you guys can't tell me how it all got here. You guys don't know. Dawkins, we're working on it. Physicists are. O'Reilly, when you get it, then maybe I'll listen. Dawkins, well now, if you look at the history of science over the centuries, the amount that's gained in knowledge from each century is stupendous. In the beginning of the 21st century, we don't know everything. We have to be humble. We have to, in humility, say that there's a lot there we don't know. O'Reilly, all right, when you guys figure it out, then you come back here and tell me, because until that time, I'm sticking with Judeo-Christian philosophy and my religion of Roman Catholicism. It helps me as a person. Dawkins, oh, that's different. If it helps you, that's great. That doesn't mean it's true. O'Reilly, well, it's true for me. You see, I believe Dawkins. Follow this. You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else? O'Reilly, yeah, absolutely. Dawkins, Something's either got to be true or not. O'Reilly, no. I can't prove to you that Jesus is God, so that truth is mine and mine alone, but you can't prove to me that Jesus is not, so you have to stay in your little belief system. Stay with me for a minute. I'm on Dawkins' side. Not the ultimate outcome, but Dawkins is right. It can't be, this is true for you, that's sweet. But this is true for me, that's sweet. Listen, they both can't be right. If Dawkins is right, there is no God. O'Reilly is wrong. If O'Reilly is right, there is a God, then Dawkins is wrong. You can't have it both ways. And when the little whining goes on, well, that's true for you, but this is true for me, that helps solve a lot of arguments. But it won't stand up in the court of investigation. Either God exists or God does not exist. There's not a lot of wiggling room with true truth. See, you can conjure up in your mind and say, well, you know, I believe this, and use rational thinking and say, because I believe this, I'm sincere about this, and therefore that's going to be enough. That's not the way truth operates, true truth. You know, I could say, well, I don't believe in trucks. I don't believe trucks are real. There's a big truck conspiracy going on, and you can't believe they're trucks. I mean, a lot of you, people told me they've ridden around in trucks, and I see things they call trucks. It's just illusions. I mean, I believe in cars and bicycles and planes and trains. I don't believe in trucks. I think there's a great truck conspiracy going on, and that is true for me, and you can't argue with me about it because that is what I believe. There's no such thing as a truck. Well, but one day, I'm crossing the street, and I look this way and that way, and no cars or bicycles or trains or rickshaws or buggies or horses are coming. Oh, I see that unrealistic illusion that they call a truck there, but it's not real to me. So I step out in the street, and boom! 20-ton semi hits me, bang. I run into truth. It's like the guy I read about in Mark's book. He said that he wakes in the morning, drinks a glass of orange juice, goes down to the gas station, fills up his car with gasoline. And why can't he just say, man, I believe gasoline's better than I'm going to drink gasoline and fill my car up with orange juice. I mean, that's realism. That's true. For me, you can't argue with that. Well, maybe orange juice would be cheaper than gas in your car. I don't know how this thing works. But you see how squirrely this kind of irrational, so-called rational thinking becomes. Either God exists or God does not exist. I can't say, well, that's true for you and this is true for me. True truth doesn't allow for that. You see? And the real God is a God of outsiders with his grace, but also he is a God and a living God, and realize that a part of sin like this widow woman, it demands justice. There has to be punishment there for rebellion. It is built in, inherent in everybody, unless they become so jaded that they wash out that basic givenness of our conscience and of moral reality. And then we see something else about this real God. The boy dies. The widow woman says, did my son die because of my sins? And Elijah takes that boy's body and goes up to his room and puts it on his bed. And he puts his body, he stretches out over that boy. Did you read it three times? He stretches out over that boy and he prays. And he says, God, did this boy die because of my sin? And he stretches out and he prays. What do you think he prayed? I think he prayed what maybe some of us have prayed. If you ever lost a baby, a child, you stretched out and said, oh, God, this sickness, take it upon me and spare this child. That's what Elijah was praying. He was stretched out. He understood that God, there is punishment for sin. He understood that, you know, how this worked. But he prayed to a sovereign God, and guess what? The boy was resurrected. The first account of resurrection in the Bible. And Elijah took that boy back to the widow, handed it to the widow, and she said, now I know you represent the true God, and your word is based on God's word, and it is, remember the last word, truth. Truth. You see, the real God is a God of outsiders, the real God, and a God of grace, but the real God also is a God of love and truth. A God of grace and a God of judgment. How can this be? It's because the real God is a stretched out God. That's it. The real God is a stretched out God. Remember what Jesus said to Peter in the Gospel of John? The resurrected Lord said, your hands will be stretched out and people will take you where you do not want to go. It was a prediction of the crucifixion of the Apostle Peter, which took place in history. It's like the widow said to God, God, did my son die because of my sin? And God said to her, no, he is resurrected. But my son, said God to the widow, will die for your sin. It is a stretched out God who brings love and truth and grace and justice together and pays the price in himself as a stretched out God on Calvary. And this is a pre-shadowing of the stretched out God when Jesus died on a cross for you and me. God preparing Elijah, teaching him obedience to him, teaching him to live one day at a time, and teaching him to be totally dependent on him so Elijah could be the guide in this day to point out the real God. Let the real God stand up, because the real God is a God of outsiders, a God of grace. The real God is a living God who demands holiness and purity, which cannot be paid for by you and me in and of ourselves. But the real God is a stretched out God, a stretched out God, who died for you and me so that our sins might be forgiven and we might have life, a resurrected life. That's the real God, ladies and gentlemen. And Elijah had to go to Kereth, be cut off, cut up, cut out. Had to go to Zarephath, be melted down, to be smelted, to get all the dross out of his life, so he could understand and be able to stand before all the godlessness of his day and speak and represent the true and living God. And that's exactly what the Almighty wants you and me to do in the 21st century, because Elijah will teach us how to know God, how to follow God, and how to serve God. This God who is the stretched out God in Jesus Christ.
The message today here on The Winning Walk, sitting on the bench, our speaker, of course, Dr. Ed Young, who joins me in the studio now. Dr. Young, in the message today, you talked about God being a God of outsiders, and I think there's an application there for how we live our lives as believers. Wouldn't you say so?
You know, absolutely. You look at the Jews, they were the ultimate insiders. and the insiders somehow missed the truth of the Messiah by and large. It was the outsiders that were invited in through the ministry of Paul, etc., and Peter as they expanded the realm of Christianity. So God is a God of outsiders, and we need to, as we introduce people to Christ, they may be, feel like they're an outsider, but they need to quickly become insiders, and the insiders who are already in the church need to be geared to meet those who come in as outsiders. So the genius of the church is every church should be equipping its membership to reach those who are not there yet. Most churches are equipped to minister to I, me, my, mine, our kind of people, our race, our culture, folks just like me. That's one reason the church in America is dying today. The body of Christ in the first century and the second century in the explosive time of evangelism was geared to reach those who were outside the walls. The church was geared up to make outsiders insiders, and we've lost that. And every church that loses that ceases to reach those who need to be reached for Christ.
That's a great point. You know, I imagine there's some listening today who think, well, sure, Elijah was able to accomplish great things because he was a prophet after all. But when you stop and think about it, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. Now, that in itself should lead us to do some pretty great things, right?
Absolutely. And that should give us a heart for God. And we have the whole canon of Scripture that gives us insight as to how God works in His salvation history. The German word is Heilgeschichte. It's God working through history in the lives of people. And that's what the church must be about in the 21st century. And we've lost that by and large, Wayne, in the Western world. I just read a futuristic thing said by 2050, there will be over 50 Christians in the non-Western world for every one Christian in the Western world. And our culture is becoming increasingly pagan because we're not reaching the young generations. We're losing generation after generation of generation because the church has turned in on itself and the church has turned away from the youth in the 21st century. And that is the reason the church is dying in America today.
So if we are guilty of sitting on the bench, we need to get in God's game, don't we?
Absolutely. Doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results, is called insanity. And most churches, tragically, are doing that. The word does not change. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. But the methodology of reaching people for Christ does change. For example, Wayne, Charles Wesley, John's brother, look in your hymnal sometimes. All those great hymns. Do you know where the tune came from those, the melody came? It came from the bar room. And when Charles Wesley brought those old bar songs into the church there, they went crazy. We're seeing this today in many, many of our churches. Any music that praises God and honors Christ, that is biblical in its theology, is worthy in the church. We should not get caught up in this is the way it's always been. We have to be on the cutting edge. We have to do some things, not changing the message. The authority of God, the inerrancy of Scripture, man, it's always relevant. But the methodology of doing church and doing worship has to constantly be changing if we're to reach every generation for Christ.
I can tell you care deeply about that. Thank you, Dr. Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young brings you an encouraging message about how God wants to come through for you in a big way. You won't want to miss it.